Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside Grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
St. John de Brito.
You must believe me, my liege. I have come only as a last resort.
But there is no need to excuse yourself, Doña Maria. My offices are always at your disposal.
Your Highness is most kind.
I'm not kind at all. I'm simply glad to see an old friend. Come, there's no need to stand on formality. I've given orders that we are not to be disturbed.
Thank you.
You've no idea, Doña Maria, how lonely I am here.
Lonely, sire, in this palace? Surrounded by the largest and gayest court in all of Europe.
Suffocated would be a better word.
Oh?
It's not like the old days, you know, when my father was king. Do you remember?
Yes, it's been a long time.
Too long. 10 years is too long. We've missed you at court.
They were happy days. I think of them often.
These last 10 years, they've been very lonely for you, haven't they?
Yes, they have, but I've had little time to brood.
Your husband was a prince, Doña Maria, in every way. Portugal shall not see his like soon again.
The boy is very much his father.
One could ask for no more. Oh, how I will remember him, that son of yours. I must tell you, he was a dreadful page. He never did anything right.
That's not true, my liege.
Oh, it is, and well you know it.
No, I don't at all.
Come now. That's better. Don't look grim when you want to smile. Do you remember him running through these corridors, slipping, sliding, clutching at important state messages?
Which was usually a pantry list for the cook.
Yes, exactly. And he never got to the kitchen without his knees being black and blue, his clothes in shreds, and the pantry list so soaked with perspiration that it couldn't be read anyway.
And then he would return to the steward, stand at attention, and report, "My royal mission has been carried out, my lord."
Yes, it's right. Oh, he was such an intense child. I was a child myself, and yet I couldn't help remarking what a serious young man that one is.
In that way, he's hardly changed at all.
Really?
Oh, you'd hardly recognize him, of course. He's grown tall and strong and, if I may say so myself, rather handsome.
What is it, Doña Maria? Is it about John you've come to see me?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure whatever it is, it's not as bad as you think. Has he taken to drink, pursuing wanton women?
I almost wish that were the case.
It seems as if his fall from grace has been quite disastrous.
No, not at all. He has become a priest.
John? A priest? When did all this take place?
He entered the novitiate of the Society of Jesus 5 years ago.
Here in Lisbon?
Yes.
You mean to say he's been here in Lisbon for 5 years and hasn't once come to court?
He's given up all worldly interest.
So it would appear. Yet it's hardly necessary to become a recluse. I mean to say we have priests here at court all the time. And some of them are quite charming.
He believes that the court is irreligious and corrupt.
Does he? Indeed. Well, I can certainly see why you're troubled. After all, our relations with the church have always been of the highest order. They've never lacked our financial support, at any rate.
You will forgive me, sire, but it isn't his opposition to the court that most troubles me.
Go on.
He intends to leave Portugal.
But what on earth for?
He wants to go to India.
To India?
Yes.
To do what exactly?
To bring Christ to the heathen.
Oh, but that's only romantic foolery. I think you'd be best advised not to take it too seriously.
But he is exceedingly devout and, I'm afraid, most determined.
But to go to India? Of all places. What in the world put such an idea into his head?
Since he was a child, he has idealized St. Francis Xavier.
Yes, of course. Our apostle of the Indies. You know, Doña Maria, I'm growing a little weary of our clergy. We give them everything they want. Money, the support of the regime, and still they carp and criticize. Where do they think they'd be without the power of the throne behind them? India. Does he think Portugal is beyond all hope of his glorious salvation?
I shouldn't have come.
No, I'm glad you did. And I will do my best to help. I promise you that. Do you think he still has enough humility to answer a royal summons?
Yes, my liege. I think he will come if you summon him.
All right. I shall ask him here. Really, India.
John, I'm sorry to disturb you, but could I perhaps speak with you a moment?
Father Emilio, yes, of course.
I don't mean to interrupt your meditation.
I wasn't praying. To tell the truth, I was thinking of other things entirely.
You seemed so deep in thought.
Please, sit down.
Thank you. John, I just had the most extraordinary visit.
Oh?
An emissary from the king. I was really quite speechless.
From Dom Pedro?
Yes, he came concerning you.
I'd been rather expecting it.
Then you're not at all surprised?
No, I'm not surprised.
John, he wishes to see you, personally.
Is the messenger waiting for a reply?
No, he simply said I was to inform you that His Highness Dom Pedro wished to receive you in audience at the earliest possible moment. You say you're not surprised?
Have you ever wondered about me, Father? Where I came from, what I was?
Well, you came to the novitiate. Your devotion and dedication were apparent. We sought to know nothing further.
But there are things that I think you should know now, and I'd like to tell you.
Well, if you wish, of course.
Father, when I vowed poverty, it wasn't an empty gesture for me. My father was a second cousin to Dom Pedro I, and a prince. When I was a child, I was a page to the present king. My father died over 10 years ago, and my mother left Lisbon to raise me at her paternal estate. It was her dream that one day I would return to Lisbon and assume my father's place at court.
Then she's not happy that you chose to be a priest?
My ordination was a great trial for her.
Is she an impious woman?
No. But she is like many pious persons who consider the priesthood a proper profession for other people. But I'm afraid my current difficulty is more serious. She'll stop at nothing to keep me from going to India.
But what can she possibly do?
Well, for one thing, she can enlist the king's support, which she's apparently done.
But your assignment to India is purely a clerical matter.
You'd be amazed how quickly clerical matters become secular when the throne takes an interest.
John, I can't advise you in this. I think we should bring the entire matter before the bishop.
No, I don't think that would be a very good idea.
But in the event Dom Pedro did actually try to stand in your way, the bishop would have influence with him. After all, the king has always been a friend of the church.
No, he's not a friend. He's not at all sympathetic to us.
But we've always had his support.
His financial support. Believe me, to the throne, the church is just another political alliance that can be bought and sold for so many pieces of silver.
Well, I can't believe my ears.
Well, I've spent most of my life among our nobility, and I know them well. You see only their public face, but in private, they mock us and laugh at the things that we hold most sacred. I've seen with my own eyes what they do when they leave church.
But surely they can't be totally unconcerned about their own salvation.
No. They simply believe that God has one set of rules for the nobility and another for everyone else. That's one of the reasons I want to go to India, Father. Because there, non-believers and disbelievers are truly that. Truly what they are. And when we bring them to Christ, they come with an open heart and a true one.
It's getting dark, John, and a little chilly. I think we should go in.
Yes, Father Emilio. You do have faith in me, don't you?
Yes, John. I have faith in you. I always have.
John, I shouldn't forgive you. I shouldn't. I mean, it's really scandalous. 5 years in Lisbon, and never once have you come to see me of your own accord.
Well, as you may have gathered, I've been much involved the last 5 years.
That's no excuse. I won't accept it. And really, there's so much I could have helped you with. Take your habit, for instance. The court tailor could have done wonders with that garment.
I'm certain of that.
Yes. As I say, I shouldn't forgive you. But then your mother is almost as bad. You know, if this little problem of yours hadn't come up, that's not important. The point is, it might have been years before I'd seen either of you. Oh, I almost forgot. I've ordered a place set for you at dinner.
I'm afraid I'll not be able to stay for dinner.
I beg your pardon?
I always dine at the novitiate.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry you won't be able to be with us. I had planned on it.
Unless, of course, your invitation was a command.
John, I'm afraid becoming a priest hasn't made you any more tactful.
Yes, that's probably true. In which event, perhaps we could come to the matter at hand.
You don't fear the throne at all, do you?
There's only one kingdom I fear, Your Majesty. And I'm sure you can guess what that one is.
But me, you don't fear me at all.
Well, you are, after all, my third cousin.
Oh, that. Well, frankly, John, if I were you, I'd put more faith in your heavenly ties than in your earthly ones.
If heaven will serve as my guarantor, sire, I have little to fear from mortal danger.
Well put. I'm pleased to see religion hasn't dampened your wits. I told your mother she need fear nothing from your vocation.
Men need fear nothing from the church. Only from the hypocrisy they carry in their own hearts.
Go slowly, cousin, lest your wit carry you too far afield. Too far from our royal bosom.
To India, in other words?
In other words.
Then I take it we have arrived at the point of this discussion.
I will do everything in my power to prevent your leaving Portugal.
I assumed as much.
But, John, why must you put me in such a position? I know that even as children, we were not exactly close friends. But we're adults now. Why can't we cooperate to our mutual advantage?
But the advantage of power is all on your side.
Oh, advantage was a poor choice of words. I meant, of course, mutual interest.
No, the word was well chosen. You meant advantage. After all, you are the throne, and I a humble priest. Even as children, you were careful never to confuse our position.
How I wish you could forget the past. It's the present that matters. Do you have any idea how much grief you're causing your mother?
I regret that. I do, truly.
I'd like to believe that. But your actions speak another language. Has your allegiance to the church caused you to abandon all filial obligation?
I have never disregarded my mother.
And you're going to India. What do you call that? If not total abandonment and disregard of her feelings.
You must not do this. You must not debase my actions this way.
But admit the truth. This business of India is nothing more or less than a whim.
You must not say that.
Call it what you will, then. An adventure. The romantic notion grounded in your hero worship of Francis Xavier.
Sire, you blaspheme everything I hold sacred.
And you ignore the most basic reverence of a son for mother.
That's not true. You are distorting the truth.
John, this is terrible.
We mustn't fight with each other this way.
I think this discussion has exhausted its usefulness.
Now, wait. Hear me out. I see no reason why we can't reach a solution satisfactory to all concerned.
Sire, I will not be dissuaded.
John, listen to me. You want to go to India, and for a very excellent reason. But the truth is that any priest can convert the heathen. But very few of the clergy have your special qualifications and position. A position, let me remind you, through which you could render the church services that far outshine anything you might possibly do among the pagans. Remember that. You do understand me, don't you?
I think I'm beginning to.
There have at times been difficulties between the throne and the church, but the fault has not rested with the throne.
Then you suggest it has rested with the church?
No, I suggest that there has not been the proper communication between the two. John, I think the greatest contribution you could make to the church would be to remain here with us in Portugal. I think you would be an excellent emissary to the throne. There is no one better suited.
I had wondered, sire, why you felt yourself so dedicated to my mother's interest. But I need wonder no longer. The answer is that she afforded the perfect occasion for a political maneuver, and through her, you hoped to gain an influence in church affairs. I am overdue at the novitiate. With your permission, I would like to leave.
Do you have any idea of the power I could exercise over you, even in the priesthood?
Are you threatening me?
Good afternoon, cousin.
Do you threaten me, sire?
Good afternoon, cousin. God be with you.
John, there is nothing to be gained by exciting yourself.
But how dare he? How dare he involve the papal nuncio?
But you must be fair, John. The papal nuncio is concerned with precisely this kind of thing. Why else would the papacy accredit someone to the civil government?
I have no quarrel with the nuncio.
No, you quarrel with the king.
There was reason.
But now he feels you challenged his authority.
Could I do anything else? You don't believe, do you, Father, that I should have given in to him?
John, sit down. Let's talk this over calmly.
But I don't want to sit down, and I don't feel very calm.
Well, you'd better learn, then. Do you realize you haven't even begun your preparations for India, and yet you can't deal in a reasoned manner with the first problem you find yourself confronted with?
Hardly an ordinary problem.
Does it compare, do you think, to the ones you're certain to meet in India?
I'm sorry, Father. But I've planned this for so long. Ever since I was a child, I dreamed of it. And prayed for it. And I thought he had answered.
Thought?
Yes. When my request was granted by the authorities, I felt he had answered. But now, I'm no longer certain.
Perhaps he is testing you.
Testing me?
Yes. And not only your resolution, but your ability to cope with the difficulties you will certainly face among the heathen.
That's the second time you've spoken of that.
I think it's important. Because the church sends its missionaries in the hope and prayer that they will do the work to which they've been entrusted.
Father, don't you believe I can be trusted with a mission?
What I think is of little importance. But the papal nuncio is now involved. And you must not by any impetuous action or intemperate expression of feeling give him reason to reconsider your mission.
Do you think that the king will somehow try to make him think that I am not quite competent?
Perhaps. He may tell the nuncio that you're too young for such a mission. That is why I ask you to remain calm.
But it's my very passion for Christ's work that drives me to India. Father Emilio, I will tell you this now. Nothing will cause me to abandon what I have set out to do. God called me from the world into religious life. He now calls me from Portugal to India. If I were not to answer this call as I ought, I would rightly provoke the justice of God. I tell you that as long as I live, I shall never cease striving to gain a passage to India.
Misunderstood, misjudged, never really appreciated. And when he passes, never truly mourned. This is the heavy crown worn by the king. If there be those who envy royal privilege, Doña Maria, or who aspire to the rule of state, send them to confer with me. I will quickly dissuade them.
Well, no one would dispute the burdens of statehood with you, sire. Certainly no one who has lived close to the throne.
It's true, my friend. Only they can understand. Even you can never fully comprehend the trials of the crown, the slenderness of the reward, maligned on every side, conspired against, faithful friends revealed as favor seekers. It's not easy. It's not easy at all.
But surely, Your Highness, there are those who do not deceive you in their friendship.
Yes? Then where are they? Point them out. I should be only too anxious to discover them.
I had rather thought of myself as your friend.
Yes, that's true. You are. At least you've always understood the Regent's problems.
But there are others as well.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. Especially you.
What do you mean, Your Majesty?
You know well enough. Consider in what light your own son views my efforts in his behalf.
He's very headstrong. He always has been. But he is truly your friend.
But why can't he see that we are only acting in his best interest?
He seems to think we are primarily interested in ourselves.
But you are his mother, and naturally the first thing a mother wants is her son at hand. But to accuse me of self-interest? Why, I simply want to do the best for all concerned.
I'm afraid involving the papal nuncio didn't help matters.
What else could I do? At any rate, it didn't help. But perhaps I could speak to John again myself. A bit more forcefully, if necessary.
Oh, no, no. You can't force him to do anything he doesn't wish to do. I know my son. No, I will go to him myself. If he is finally moved, it will be by me.
But you've tried over and over again. Allow me to bring the pressure.
No. I will go to him. I alone.
As you wish, Doña Maria.
I must admit, John, I didn't know what to expect. I thought perhaps you wouldn't want to see me at all.
Mother, how could you ever think such a thing?
Ah, there are those who would say you had good reason.
Then they have no love in their hearts, either for man or God. And what you did, I know you thought it was for the best.
You do believe that, don't you? That I want only what is best for you.
I think you believe what you're doing is best for me. But in truth, Mother, you're doing only what is best for yourself.
But my son, that's not true. How can you say that?
Because you feel that by my going to India, I'm somehow deserting you. And in a certain way, you're even jealous of my love for God.
John, I am a pious woman. I have always been. I myself instilled the love of Christ in your heart.
I know that.
Then how can you accuse me of such things?
Mother, it's not an accusation. I'm simply speaking the truth as I know it in my heart to be. Mother, do you remember the time when I was a child and was taken by the fever?
Yes. Yes, I remember that. I prayed for you night and day.
And you turned especially to St. Francis Xavier. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, yes.
And when God chose to spare me, as a token of your faith and your gratitude, for an entire year, you dressed me in the habit of the Jesuit father.
Yes, my son, yes, I remember.
You yourself instilled in me my devotion to God and to the church. Is it any wonder that when I become a man, I should have wished to give my life to Christ?
No.
Then don't you see that my commitment to Christ is the affirmation of my love for you? Since you yourself guided my steps toward Christ, it is an affirmation of your love for Christ.
But John, that
desire to bring others to Christ, this desire which has always burned in my soul, this very desire was nurtured by you.
Don't you see that?
John, I don't know what... Oh, my son.
Don't you see that, Mother?
Yes, yes, dear. Yes, yes, I do.
Then how can you feel that the church takes me from you? When it is, after all, the church that brings us closer to Christ and to each other.
Yes, I know.
And in God's eternal plan, how far can the distance be between Portugal and India?
John, will you let me attend your Mass on Sunday?
Yes, Mother, of course.
And when you're away, I will pray for you every day.
And I will pray that God give his blessings to both of us.
St. John de Brito did indeed follow in the footsteps of St. Francis Xavier. For many years he toiled among the heathen in India, preaching, baptizing, and before he was finally martyred, bringing multitudes to Christ.